celebrating the best of the best with the Big Sports Breakfast Legends.
This is how legends are made.
Well, what a resume our Friday legend has. A World Cup winner with the All Blacks, a premiership winner in the NRL, and he's written a book, You Can't Stop the Sun from Shining. Sonny Bill Williams, good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Great, guys. Thanks for having me, boys.
Great. Yeah, very well. Great to have you on the show. Now, why have you done it? Why have you written a book?
I don't know. I think, obviously, hanging up the boots earlier this year, I had a bit of time to... I've been asked to do a book for a few years now, and I just thought, why not? I know not in my wildest dream did I ever think 20 years ago would I be ever writing a book, also working on television, but I knew that for the growth, I need to put myself in those uncomfortable spaces, and writing a book, working on TV is just all part of that. So it's all about the growth for me, and if I'm true to my word, walk that talk, then you know, that's what I try to be about.
Sonny, congratulations, mate, on everything you achieve. What an amazing athlete you have been, and it's great to still have you in and around footy and talking on our televisions. But, mate, how hard was it for you to put yourself in a position to be so open and honest with your book, with, you know, not just about what happened on the field, but more so off the field?
Hey, Pop, massive fan of yours, bro.
Thanks, man.
I think for me, I knew where I come from, the struggles that I've had, the path that I've walked. It's necessary that I put the vulnerability ahead and speak about it. Speak about it, not so much for the mistakes I've made, but I see it vital in talking about how, you know, I've overcome that. Overcome that shyness, overcome that low self-esteem, overcome that not feeling enough. And that was just all through, you know, the lessons, the mistakes, but also educating myself and stepping into a place of unknown, but with a heart that's like, man, I'm striving to be a better man, you know. Yeah. And I feel like that's the blessing in my journey, is, and I just needed to share it. So if a few youngsters take a bit of goodness from the book, then it's a success in my eyes.
Yeah, Sonny, congratulations on a fantastic career. You've done so many wonderful things. And I want to ask you, mate, because when you were writing the book, and we've read little snippets of it, you know, and you went through some dark times, what was the turning point? Was it when did you realise that you had to do something different in your life?
Yeah, firstly, Laurie, you're the man, bro. Grew up watching the Canberra Raiders and whatnot in my household, so I speak a bit about that in the book.
Cheers.
But I think it's just, it was, you know, I was so driven to succeed in the sporting field. I never drank, you know, never partied until I actually made first grade. So I was, you know, I was definitely a product of my society, you know, and I think growing up, the struggles that I had, you know, in my household, I was never sat down by my mother and father and said, if you make it in NRL, if you make it to a high performance space, this is the pitfalls that you might have to, you might fall into, or these are the things to watch out for. This is how you should act in a certain space. It was all about survival in my household. We had no wallpaper on the walls. You know, it was a housing commission house. So it was about paying the rent. So when I got to that place, you know, I had the struggles off the field. I didn't know how to deal with it, you know, and I made a lot of selfish decisions, Laurie. But I think it all came to a head, you know, obviously when I took off to France, because although I was playing some great footy on the field, I was deeply, deeply sad off the field. Mm. And it was just a culmination of bad choices, selfish choices, partying. You know, obviously things weren't going too well with me in the club at the time, and I just seen it as an escape route for myself. But as I speak about in the book, I ran away essentially from the man in the mirror, and the man in the mirror was there when I landed in France, you know. So the blessing of those 2 years in France was being able to, you know, fight a lot of those demons and come full circle. I've always believed that I've been a good guy. My faith has allowed me to step into that space and given me the structure to thrive in that way. So, I can't really say, oh, this is the exact time, Loza, but I feel like that was that moment of you know, that we all go through as young men, young women, where we're trying to find something greater than, you know what I mean? So that was my time, I think.
Sonny, tell me the impact, and it hits every parent, there's no doubt about it, but tell me the impact on your life after becoming a father.
It's special, as you guys know. I look at it from this point of view, that I see it as twofold. Not only because you love this little blessing that's coming to your world, great, more so than yourself, you know, straight away, like the love is straight there. It's an amazing feeling. But I see it as the struggle that comes with it. You know, it's one of growth, because you can't be a great father, without learning from the kid, you know, without putting effort into it, without, you know, daily. Kids are relentless, bro. As you guys know, kids are relentless. But, you know, for me, I hang my hat on the discipline that I had in sport, that sporting context. I put it into myself as a man, you know, as a husband, as a father. You know what I mean? Like trying to be wholesome with the kids, trying to be present with the kids, all of that type of stuff. So, but it's a daily work on, and the struggle's always there, boys. Mm.
We're speaking with Sonny Bill Williams, as our Friday legend. And Sonny, you've been probably one of the most scrutinised athletes here in the past 20 years, particularly with everything off the field, something that our co-host knows a lot about as well. But from the outside, it looked like at times that you probably didn't really give a damn what the public thought. But that's from people who didn't know you. How much did the scrutiny actually affect you?
Yeah, it affected me a lot, I think. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it never, because, you know, I'm a bit of a people pleaser. You know, I want people to feel good, and sometimes it's at the expense of myself. But, you know, with the journey and the growth in myself, I understand, you know, A, you cannot please everyone, you know, whatever you do, you know, you're not going to tick all the boxes in everyone's eyes. So when you understand that, then that helps you. But then I also understand myself a bit more and my triggers. For example, social media. My wife does my social media pages just because of that one little comment or something might affect me in a certain way. I try not to read media or watch the news. Sorry, boys, I'd listen to you guys.
Good save, buddy.
And I think the saying that I always go by now with sportsmen and sportswomen is the better person makes the better sportsman, because the better sportsman or woman understands themselves more, because they understand their strengths and they understand their weaknesses. And that's what I strive to do each day.
Sonny, can I ask, did you learn that from your faith, or did you learn it from being involved with the All Blacks?
I'd say my faith played a big role in my development, but at the same time, I feel like my faith just gave me the structure to implement the basic morals that my household taught me when I was a youngster. Treat others the way you want to be treated. It doesn't matter what color skin you are. You know, it matters how you are as a person. And, you know, those simple messages are pillars in Islam, you know. It's all about what your heart, how your heart is, how you are. It's all about your deeds, you know, striving to be a better person each day. You know, five times a day I have to pray. And I strive to pray with my heart, not just my limbs in that sense. And when I'm doing that, you know, naturally I'm more grateful for what I have. Naturally, I'm looking down because it gives me that gratitude aspect, just to have, a roof over my head, have a house with wallpaper, because I never had that when I was young. You know what I mean? So that's my journey, and I have my empathetic heart goes out for a lot of these young sportsmen these days, because I see a lot of them just trying to be young people. You know, we all, I think it's a society, when we see these sportsmen or sportswomen performing at such a high level, we think, man, they're perfect. Yeah. You know, Papa's perfect, Laurie Daly's perfect because they've scored this or scored that much runs or scored that winning try. But in reality, we all have our struggles and we all make mistakes, especially as youngsters. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's all part of the growth.
Yeah, well said, mate. Sonny, on that, we get a lot of people asking about the words role model. And every athlete that plays at the highest level, there's an expectation that you are a role model to young boys and young girls. Where do you personally sit with that now versus 15 years ago when you first come in and you're first in the spotlight and, you know, everything was thrown upon you? How do you see the word role model now?
You know, I think I've grown to really take that word seriously, but I understand from a youngster's point of view. I was a professional athlete at 17, so I never really had any life experience to understand that word. You know what I mean? So I think the real important part here when we talk about role model is the leadership group within the club. The leadership group within the club, because these guys have walked that walk. These guys can tell them and show them that they need to remove the naiveness when it comes to that. We're in a space now with our phones and every little slip up is caught and it's headline news. And, you know, whether we like to admit it or not, oh, that bloke, how dare he, you know, how dare he take a photo of him doing what he was doing or her doing what she was doing. That's such a bad, you know, it doesn't matter about that. You need to understand that you're a professional athlete now and you're a role model, whether you would like to admit it or not. So there needs to be a bit of a reality check in that space. And I feel like the best people to do that, to get these youngsters to have skin in the game, and I can only speak from my experience that I'll be listening to and connecting with, was if a Michael Clark, when I was young, told me, Sonny, you know, cut the crap, bro. Get your head in the game and understand this is the reality. Or if Laurie Daly was telling me, you know. So I really feel like the leadership within a group is a leadership group within a club is very important when it comes to that space. And I, when we talk about Polynesians and Maldives, family for us is really important. Now, always say, you know, skin in the game. When you believe in something or you know the greater cause, the bigger picture, you'll wholeheartedly be doing it. Being more authentic. And these people, these young Islanders, the Maldives need to understand that if they stuff up, it's not only going to embarrass themselves, it's going to embarrass their families, the wider community, and it's a big thing for us. Mm.
Sonny, you had the most unique and successful sporting career across, well, rugby league, rugby union, and boxing as well. What is your most satisfying sporting achievement?
Man, I don't know. There was so many, and I'm so grateful for all of them. You know, I grew up as a staunch rugby league man, staunch, hearty as rugby league man, but I grew to love rugby union. So obviously, you know, the Rugby World Cups were massive because it was from a world point of view. But deep down, you know, those NRL titles, you know, growing up, watching State of Origin, you know, watching Canberra Raiders, I'm not going to lie, they were my team, me and my brother's team. To watching Laurie do their thing, Mal Meninga, you know, Brett Mullins. So I would have to say maybe the NRL titles. But then, I don't know, like the boxing, when I won the New Zealand heavyweight title, it was a massive feeling because it was just myself. I was by myself literally in that ring, you know. So, sorry, but I didn't answer their question, but I tried to.
Not a bad problem to have, buddy, when you've got so many.
Hey, Tony, can I ask you, mate? Like team sport, and a lot of people say that, you know, there's the same issues that go on in all team sport. But when you talk about a culture, was there a cultural difference between rugby league and rugby union?
Well, I think now there's not too much difference. I feel like now everything's at your fingertips, the best nutrition advice, recovery advice, all of that. But I came into the game early 2000s, and it was still that mindset, if we're being honest, where it was train hard, play hard, and party hard. And I think that's slowly being removed. What I think we're seeing is just, I guess, more emphasis now on people's mental health. You know, when I came through, there was none of that talk. I didn't even know what that word was. Yeah. You know what I mean? But, so yeah, I, I can't really, because I didn't play rugby union. What I'm trying to say is I didn't play rugby union in the early 2000s, and I dare say it'd be the same mindset, you know. But now we're in a pretty good place, I think, in understanding that we need to look after the athletes wholesomely, not just from a physical point of view, you know, mentally as well. And that's where I see us moving in helping these players, you know, make better decisions. Because, you know, when you actually look at the game, there's so many great stories out there. There's so many of these young kids, young men, young women doing so much for their communities. But obviously that's not the headline grabbing story we want to hear about, you know. But again, I don't know if I answered that question, but I tried.
No, you did.
Sonny, you played against them with some of the best. For you in league and then in union, who's your favourite to play with or against?
In the book, I talk about some great rivalries, you know, the Souths versus Roosters, and the Roosters versus the Dogs when I came up, playing with guys like Mark O'Mealy. He was crazy. He was a psychopath on the field. I'd say he's a crazy story. Laurie, you probably know this. He used to put banker rub all over his head and face before the game. That's a true story.
Oh my God.
He was mad though, wasn't he, Sonny? He would just run through a brick wall. Like, I mean, literally, if you told him that his job was to run through a brick wall, he wouldn't bat an eyelid, would he, Sonny?
That's I couldn't speak. I've actually used that line whilst talking about Ogre once on. You know, at training, we used to do tackle drills, and he had in his mind that he had to put the guy on the ground. And sometimes, being the larrikin that I was, I'll just take the piss and try and stand up, you know. But all the boys would just fall down, and it would take me like 30 metres trying to get going, you know. I learned a lot of the toughness. You know, obviously I had it from my upbringing, and it really sat well, you know, the Dogs of War in the early 2000s. That's why I thrived in that space, you know. Rennie Matua, Mark, Willie Mason, you know, Adam Perry, we would just smash each other at training. But coming up against guys like, I guess, Greg Inglis was always a tough task. And then going over to rugby, it wasn't necessarily individuals. It was more like, okay, we're playing South Africa now. These guys are man mountains. I don't know if you've seen a lot of those rugby players, but man, they are gigantic, massive, you know. And it was always the physical contest that I loved about the South African style of play. Then it was, okay, we're playing England and Twickenham. You know, obviously, Pup, you would play it over there with the Ashes and whatnot. It's such an amazing atmosphere, playing in a different country, and everyone knows the game. You know, I really love that about rugby union.
Sonny, you're still on, well, you're only in your mid-30s, really, still. Are you going to fight Paul Gallen?
Eventually, I think it'll happen. You know, I when it comes to Paul, I've always said I'm not afraid to fight him, and I want to fight him. I said to him, actually, before he took on Hooney, I said through my manager saying to him, I said, tell him not to fight Hooney because I know he's going to get pumped. Just maybe have another fight. Let me have a couple of fights, and then we'll get it on. It'll be a mad buzz for everyone.
Yeah.
But obviously, Paul's his own man, and he done what he felt was right, and he got pumped. So, obviously, I'm going to do what I feel is right, and I'm going to go on my own journey, and eventually, if our journeys collide, well, then we'll get it on. I respect Paul and what he's done, because he's held that flag, you know, the footy flag for boxers in that boxing scene, and anyone that gets in the square office, I respect tremendously. So, hopefully in the next 12 months, we'll see.
Well, a reminder to all our listeners, Sonny's book is available. You Can't Stop the Sun from Shining. And I saw Denny Widler write in the Sun Herald on the weekend that the Players Association wants its members to read this book. So it's going to leave some legacy, Sonny. We really appreciate your time this morning. Good luck going forward. And it's been great to talk about your journey this morning.
Thanks, boys. It's got great pictures too.
Good on you, Sonny.
Have a good one, boys.
Thanks, Sonny. Well done, mate. Congrats.
Take care, lads. All the best.